the words that Tim speaks to us this morning. We pray that there will be a guiding light for us into the future. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Whoa. Okay. I am on. All right. So, we're still in January, which means this morning we will be continuing our summer series, where we're briefly looking at persons and passages from the Old Testament. So in preparing for this morning, knowing that I was speaking alongside the likes of Larry and Smithy and Dan, I thought, who is the best character, the best person in the Old Testament? Any of you kids, can any of you think who I've chosen, the best person in the Old Testament? Nah, it's okay. Okay, so I'll help you out. I've chosen God. Yeah? Now, it wasn't a competition, but don't you think I won? Like, yeah? It may be considered cheating, okay. But this morning, I want us to explore some qualities of our great God that were beautifully written by King David thousands of years ago. I feel that, as we are still in early 2017, it'll be a great exercise to remind ourselves exactly who our God is and to worship him this morning for his unmatched greatness. This morning, we'll be looking at Psalm 139. And thank you, Ash, for that Lego reading of this morning's passage. I identified four great qualities of God that King David brings out in this worshipful song that he wrote. A psalm is a song. He declares that God is all-knowing or omniscient, that God is everywhere, omnipresent, that God is all-powerful, omnipotent, and lastly, he declares God's great love and care for us. David begins Psalm 139 with, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." God searches us and knows us. The writer spends the next couple of verses expanding upon this statement by describing all the things God knows about us when we sit down and when we rise, when we go out and when we rest. There is nothing we can do that our God does not know about. Every casual and seemingly insignificant moment of our life, moments we forget almost instantly, are fully known by the awesome God. David writes that God hems us in, like an army surrounding a city. There is nothing that goes on with us that God does not know about. We cannot speak a word without God knowing it beforehand. We cannot think a thought without God already having known it. Things that are impossible for us humans are possible with God. You know, if you know someone really, really well, your parents, or maybe for you adults, your spouse, you may be able to predict what they are going to say before they say it in a few select situations. But only God can know what they are going to think before they even think it. Later in the psalm, David declares that God knows all the days ordained for us, all the days set out for us, before even one of them comes to be. God knows what each day of our lives will be like ahead of time. When trying to comprehend everything God knows about us, David is forced to write, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. It's beyond our capability to know all the things that God knows about us. This concept can be kind of difficult for us to comprehend because we don't know any being like God. We don't interact with someone at this plane of existence like God. We are finite and temporal. We have a limited amount of time and we don't know everything, whereas God is infinite. He's not bound by time and he is eternal and infinite. Yeah. But it's not just that God knows us and that's it. Ash, I know him. But in verse 1, David writes that God searches us. He intentionally seeks to know us completely. He intimately and carefully examines every part of us. God not only knows every one of us, but he wants to know every one of us. He doesn't just have head knowledge of us. He has heart knowledge of us. He has a heart for us and displays great care for us. God, as the infinite creator, knows all things, but he takes special care in knowing us intimately. David continues by proclaiming that there is nowhere we can go to escape God. God, by his Spirit, is everywhere. If we go to space, or to the heavens, or under the sea, or to the depths, to the farthest east where the sun dawns, or to the west across the sea where the sun sets, God will be with us and he will guide us. Indeed, he will keep us and protect us. Even if we seek out the darkness to hide us from the ever-present God, David writes that the darkness is as light to God. There is no hiding from the sight of God. David then addresses God's omnipotence, his unmatched power, by describing God's powerful yet delicate work in creating each of us. God alone has the knowledge and the power to form our bodies from the most basic of starts. He carefully and with great consideration knit us together in the womb and created our inmost being, our inner parts that we can't see. He saw our unformed body and he knew us completely as we were being formed. There is no one that knows us like God Almighty, El Shaddai. Listed throughout this song are indications of God's great love and care for us. He intimately examines us, verse 1. He surrounds us and lays his protective hand upon us, verse 5. He guides us and strengthens us. He delicately formed us. He ordains our days, and he thinks of us and considers us often. It is beyond comprehension that a God who knows all things, every evil thought and deed we've done or planned to do, every time we've tried to sneakily hide our sin or deceive ourselves, every thought we've entertained to elevate ourselves above God in our lives. And yet God has such great love for us that he still guides and sustains us, coming alongside us to draw us back to himself. He has such great love for us, but for us in these days there is no greater indication of God's love than in the sending of Jesus Christ, his Son, to reconcile us back to God by dying in our place on the cross. You see, because of the bad things we've done, we deserve God's punishment. But Jesus took the punishment instead of us, instead of you. We were considered God's enemies, but through Christ Jesus, we can be considered God's children. And indeed, to those who follow Christ, God gives us his Holy Spirit to live within us, to minister to our spirit and reveal God to us. How awesome is our God? Now, this may seem like a simple list of the fundamental attributes of our God that many of us know, a Christianity 101. But this psalm has been a special encouragement to Mel and I this year. Last year. January is typically a time for looking back and reflecting on the previous year. And in doing so, it was clear to us that we had a truly awful year last year. One of the hardest, if not the hardest, of my life. There were many times throughout 2016 where we were terrified and confused about what was going on. And it did feel like God had kind of forgotten about us. Not that we expect a carefree, comfortable life all of the time, but the compounding situations we were enduring, one after another after another, it felt at times like God was too busy elsewhere to answer us, or perhaps that God was disappointed in us. On occasion, we felt just like the author of Psalm 139, King David, when he wrote in Psalm 13, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, and day after day have sorrow in my heart?" I'm sure there are other people here who know what I mean. But praise God for his mighty word, because despite the difficult circumstances we had in 2016, both Mel and I feel we had tremendous growth as well. As he always does, God used the difficult circumstances of last year, some of which are still ongoing for us, they haven't finished, to draw us closer to him and reveal his nature to us. Where we previously cried out asking, "Can you not see what we're going through? Do you even know what's going on and how we feel?" We can now say, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." Where we previously prayed, "You feel so far away. Please don't leave us." We can now say, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Where we previously pleaded, "Why won't you intervene in this situation?" We can now say, "You hem me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon us." And where we previously saw God as disappointed, or perhaps even punishing us, we are reminded that Jesus did not come into this world to condemn us, but to save us. John 3:17. We are reminded this year that if our view of God conflicts what's in the Bible, then we've got it wrong. We need to let God's word dictate what God is like to us. And so this passage, among many passages in the Bible, have been a special encouragement to us to open our eyes to see what God is actually like, to see that we've been deceived in believing wrong things about God. What amazed Mel and I throughout last year is the number of times that when we were struggling but trying to trust God, praying to him together, reading his word and going to church, we would get out of nowhere words of encouragement, either directly from the Bible or through other people, through members of this church. That would be just perfect for where we were at and what was going on with us. Whenever we received these words, we were amazed, and it encouraged us to pray more, read God's word more, and seek to know God more. As it says in James 4, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And I think we feel we experienced this last year. Like a tree planted where there is a lot of surface water, it doesn't need to spend the extra energy sending tap roots deep down. It's quite comfortable with the small amount of energy it's using, maintaining its surface roots. But it's only when the surface water dries up and times get hard that the tree is forced to either pull up its roots and give up completely, or dig deeper to find the life-giving water beneath it. Now, this is how I see the final verses in Psalm 139, which weren't actually included in the video. But these verses can seem quite confronting at first. David is talking about hating God's enemies. David is so grieved by the evil of the world that he considers the world his enemy. As the world stands opposed to God, David will stand opposed to the world. David is tapping himself into God, and when we are tapped into the Almighty God, we will desire the things God desires, and we will know that this is not our true home. There is more ahead for us, more in store. For each of us in 2017, I pray that we will know anew the all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful, gracious, and merciful God our Father. And may we echo David's closing words in this psalm for us this year. "Search us, God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting."